Sparta means W-H-C-O.
Horror folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
That's W-H-B-O. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on W-H-C-O. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. 9:27. I'm Jeff. On this first People Speak of 2022, we've got Randolph County Commissioner David Holder.
Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to have a chance to come here and say a few words for Randolph County. And as you said, we're in a brand new year, and it's nice to be here. You know, and it's actually a beautiful day outside as well. Despite had a lot of clouds and some cool weather over the weekend, but it's turned into a very nice day today, even though it's a bit chilly. I think I was reading 20 degrees when I was coming in, but for January the 3rd, though, that's not bad.
And, right.
So we're off to another good start, and moving forward as best we can. The courthouse is actually closed today because this is New Year's Day. As it fell on Saturday, it is actually celebrated today for the Randolph County employees. So they are closed today, and then we'll be back open tomorrow and going at that time in our new year. Our actual physical year began December 1st, as you've heard me mention, and that's when our budgets and operations began. But our actual calendar year obviously begins this week. And we're looking forward to it and to a new year of activities and progress to see what we can get accomplished this year on various different fronts.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. We got a commercial break here. Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw that in. We'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back to The People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, we're talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. We've talked about the new budget year, now the new year. So, I mean, we've got everything in place now, and how are things going with the county?
Well, I'll mention a few things that we're considering and we'll be working on over the course of the first part of this year. One of them you probably heard me mention before, if you listen, is the Randolph County Care Center. As a process over the last several months, we've been taking a look at a possibility of renovations for the care center and changing it from a 100 bed facility to a 50 bed facility. And in the renovations, we would include some behavioral health care and other medical service and health care services in partnership with Comwell and in partnership with the Sparta Community Hospital in what I'll call the back half or the south half or the south wing of the care center, and the continued nursing and long-term care services in the front half. Now, we've been considering this for a possibility, and as I've mentioned before, we're in the feasibility study stages, the stages of studying the feasibility of it, and we still are in those stages. And we have some more meetings set for it in January, a couple of weeks from now, where we will begin, continue talking about the different aspects of this. And in the feasibility, we're looking at several aspects. One, can each one of these entities provide these services on a continual and ongoing basis and receive the necessary funding through the different medical channels that these things are funded through in the state of Illinois, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, private funding, as well as state funding for behavioral health care. Will the state commit to making funding available for these services over a long period of time, which we have to consider, as well as the overall the operations of how it would operate, and as well as the necessary financing to make these renovations. Now, a substantial portion of the financing is available through the Cures Act that was passed roughly a year ago this time. I think it was back in March, if I remember correctly, March of 21. And some of the funding comes through this. The rest of the funding would come through issuing bonds or other debt, as well as some partnerships with Sparta through TIF district and that sort of thing. It doesn't involve taxes to the taxpayers of Randolph County. And it would involve an overall restructuring of the care center, how it operates and that sort of thing through its budget process. And right now it operates as a base part of Randolph County government, where it would switch over to an enterprise type funding operation. Now, most people listening aren't going to know what that means, but it's things that have to be looked at and developed. And so we're still in the feasibility, and hopefully this is going to move through. I would kind of set it at a 50-50 mm-hmm. proposition, you know, which is kind of down the middle. At this point in time, it may be a little better than that, but as we continue to work on these things and the pieces come together, and the biggest piece in coming together in this is commitments from the state of Illinois that we can actually receive funding or for these services, providing these services through Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. If we cannot get contracts to provide these services, then there's no reason to put them there, mm-hmm. and so that changes the whole picture. But these services are receiving a lot more attention across the state and across the nation in behavioral health care and that sort of thing. So I think there's a good opportunity there, but you don't want to be overly optimistic in what's going to happen. So that's one of the projects we'll be looking at through the spring, through January and through the spring of the year, and we'll see how it unfolds. And hopefully we'll have success in that project. Mm-hmm. Other projects going on, and I think it's already been announced in the newspapers, that we have been working on this national park status for, which would be portions of Randolph County over around the Prairie du Rocher area, but it also includes other portions of Illinois to the north, the Cahokia Mounds and some of those areas, for a national park status. And you've heard me mention this, and we sometimes forget here, but 200 years ago, 200 years ago, Randolph County was the western border of the United States, and there's a lot of history in this area. And we've been working on this national park status, and there's been a lot of work done by Chris Martin, our Director of Economic Development, and he's put together quite a bit of information. We've got support from our congressperson. But anyway, the important part is, what's new is Tammy Duckworth's office has announced that she will support legislation in the Senate to make it a national park. And you do obviously have to have an active Congress to create a national park. And Senator Durbin's office, I believe, has announced that they're going to be on board with it. So we have support at the Washington level in both Senate and Congress. And those being the case, that obviously we have someone to introduce the legislation that's going to help. Now, that's a long way from seeing it ever pass, mm-hmm. but it's obviously a first good step in the fact that there's, you know, legislators out there that say, yes, this is important. We believe this is very important. We were going to try to be a part of it and put it out there and make it available. And so we're hopeful. We were hoping, obviously, that it would happen sometime this year, because this is the 300th anniversary of Prairie du Rocher, and they will be celebrating this year their 300th anniversary through the course of the year in various different events. And it would be nice if it could happen in this year. However, that's still, you know, it's a long shot, but it's mm-hmm. a possibility. But if it just happens as it goes forward, even if it doesn't make this year, it happens in 23, that would still be wonderful. So, but it is out there, it is being considered, and it keeps moving forward and keeps progressing, and we're happy to hear that. And those are two very large items that there's been a lot of work and effort put forward behind the scenes, and they're not really out in the public that much, and they're not obviously seen that much, but over a period of time, both the care center and the national park status, if those things go through, they're going to be significant for Randolph County, and they're going to, you know, help quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so those are different items we're working on.
Talking about with the care center and stuff, I know mental health and some of the addictions and stuff like that are big things that people, I mean, they're being worked on these days.
Well, I don't want to put too much detail in mm-hmm. it, because I'm not a medical expert.
Right.
And I don't play one on TV or the radio. But we are learning as a society, and much of what we learn in healthcare is still very new. We mm-hmm. like to think of ourselves as very far advanced and knowing quite a bit, but in reality, if you go back a couple of generations before World War II, you know, in my grandfather's time, there really wasn't much health care available. It didn't go much beyond setting broken bones and giving you pills if you, you know, had a cold. And that was about it. And we're learning a lot more. And one of the things we're learning in the process that is, how do I say this tactfully, you know, issues, mental health type issues that aren't resolved when you're younger, be turned into addictions and physical health problems as a person grows older. The issues that they had trouble with when they're young become the issues that they have trouble with when they're old. And which makes sense. And as I get to be an older person, I realize, yes, that's very correct. You know, you've seen that over the course of your life. And so if you can identify some of these issues earlier on and you resolve them at a younger age, then you don't have the relating physical health problems to go along with them as a person gets older. And that's the idea in the behavioral health science is working on identifying, working on resolving these issues as best possible for people when they're younger, so you don't have to deal with them as, you know, more severe ailments when they become older. And that's getting very recognized in medication and medicine right now. But then, of course, when you identify these things, oftentimes it takes years to put, you know, procedures and treatments, plans in place. Even knowing what those things are in and of itself is quite a bit. So that kind of gives you an overall layout of the complexity of the process and the problem, which it is very complex. Now, how to resolve it? Obviously, a more difficult answer, but these are the procedures you work through, and oftentimes it simply becomes, as you know, when as an older person goes to the doctor, well, you try something. If it works, you're on the right track, and you keep trying it. And if it doesn't work, well, you take a look at it and maybe try something else. And oftentimes in the whole industry of medicine, it's very much that way as well. And I know it's certainly that way in COVID, and we know as we've been dealing with it through the years, and you know, we're watching it take place. Well, they, you know, initially they recommended this. Now they're saying, well, maybe not that, maybe another time. You know, when they started out, they talked about a 14-day isolation quarantine, and well, and then 10 days. Now 5 days is enough if you do it right. So they're learning more about it as the process goes on. As they learn more about it, then they're much better at being able to treat it and deal with it.
I heard one time that's what they call it, a medical practice.
Well, that's exactly why they call it a practice, as you work through it and you learn and you develop as you go along the way. And every person is different, obviously, so every condition is going to be a little bit different. Many of them are similar, but there's also certain differences in them. So anyway, that is some of the issues going along that we're working to develop through this year. In Rhodes, we can talk a little bit about that if you want.
Okay. Want to take a break first?
Yes, that's fine. Okay. I could use a drink of water anyway.
All right, we'll take a break and we will come back and talk about Rhodes here on the People Speak. You're listening to People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. Looks like we got about 8 minutes left in the program today, talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we were talking about the care center,
The national park status. And I thought I'd switch over and mention just a little bit about Rhodes. And obviously, many of these things I touch on every 2 weeks are thing, you know, are continued on items that I'd mentioned before. Not everyone hears them from every time. But coming up this year, or I guess I should prefix it with what happened last year, County Road 5, which is the road that runs between Rockwood and up to Wine Hill, up to the Wine Hill Road there. That's County Road 5. And it had two major bridges on it. We replaced one of those bridges in 20. Then we resurfaced the deck of the other one in 21, finished it up in the fall, about a couple of months ago. Started to say 3 or 4 weeks, but it's probably been more like 8-10 weeks ago when we finished taking off the deck and putting a brand new deck on it, but left the substructure in place as it was very good. And now we'll be looking at a resurfacing project on that entire stretch of road. It's 5 or 6 miles through there this year. We've allocated funding for it. It's would be on the January lettings on in Springfield, Illinois. Much of that has to go through IDOT because it's 90% funded, motor fuel tax, and 10% local match. So that's on the lettings this year to see how it comes out, and it has a pretty good chance, potential of happening this year in 22, but that's one of our major ones. So we'd have the opportunity to resurface that particular road, and it includes a couple of other bits of other roads, but the main section is the one I just described, and that would be nice to see that taking place, as that road that runs, actually it runs all the way over to Campbell Hill, then runs all the way through to Wine Hill on the other side. The Jackson County portion of it was resurfaced a year ago, and to get some portions of that in this year as well would be nice. So that's one of the projects we're taking a look at for this year. We're taking a look at the road, the county road that runs between the city limits of Sparta to Shoe Line Road, we commonly call the Chester Road here, that runs in that area. We're looking at some straightening and resurfacing on that. That's in engineering studies. It probably won't actually happen until 23 for the, you know, before it actually goes into construction. But that is one of the ones we're currently working on. And the Chester Bridge, which is actually in Missouri, our MoDOT project, that is in engineering studies. It has been slated to be replaced here before long. But of course, obviously, that's going to be probably an 8-year project. But it's in engineering studies now, and they are moving forward. And MoDOT has announced they're not going to be making any more significant repairs to the Chester Bridge anymore, which means they're, you know, intentionally, you know, the replacement is going to happen at this point in time. And it just needs to take place, and which, of course, it will take a certain amount of time. But they're working forward on that. And that is nice to hear. And we did receive funding for, and it's in the IDOT budgets on the 4-lane project, what's known as the Southern Illinois Connector, the 4-lane we talked about from Murfreesboro up to Waterloo area. Some of that it's in different stages, but we had funding put in for the engineering work from the Waterloo area to Sparta, in just generally speaking, from Waterloo to Sparta, where they would do the preliminary engineering. That's where they take a look at the routes and what might have to be moved and what would be problems, and they have their public hearings, and it's discussed until they find, so they can lay out a route, they think the most feasible route, and if there's going to be anything involved in it that's, you know, that would not be able to be moved, or, you know, would represent a problem in history or something like that. And once they complete that, and of course that has to be done first, and once that's completed, which it's planned to be in 22-23, is when this is supposed to occur, then they would be in a position then at the next level of funding to actually do the detailed engineering. That's when they start laying out, this is where the bridges are at, this is how they're going to be built. So you put the plans in place so contractors can actually bid on the work. But it is moving forward, and it's nice to see. It is reaching some funding levels and some interest at the Springfield level, and that's nice to have that happening and moving forward. We put a substantial amount of work together on that as in cooperation with our other counties, Monroe County, Jackson County, and Perry being the primary ones in it, and we've put quite a bit of work through on that, and we're seeing that pay off and come forward. And if we could get that built over sometime over the next 15 years or so, that would be a very big bonus for Southern Illinois area. So that's some of the different projects out there that are being considered and worked on at this point in time.
What about the economic development?
Economic development is continuing to move forward. It obviously got slowed by COVID. We have in place our enterprise zone, which is very beneficial. It's drawn a couple of nice projects in the Monroe County area. We're still hoping for some in Randolph County. It doesn't matter exactly where they put it. Any developmental project that's within a 20-mile radius of us, it benefits us, obviously.
Now, is that those buildings on the western side of Columbia towards St. Louis, is that part of that?
South 11, yes. That's part of it. That's the northern portions of it. But it comes on down to Chester and Roma and through those areas as well. So Redbud's in it, Chester's in it, Sparta's in it, Waterloo's in it. Valmar, I'm leaving somebody out, but I don't mean to. But it's a group of a number of different communities in it, and it provides a certain amount of benefit. And there are a number of different projects that are being talked about and being considered. I've heard information on it. I've had discussions with the different companies that are considering different possibilities. Until they actually file further permits, then it becomes public knowledge, so I can't really discuss it. because it's not at this point in time public knowledge yet. But once they reach a point where they say, yes, we're going to do this, and they're going to file further permits to begin the process, then, of course, it's public, and it'll be in the newspapers, and we can begin to talk about it and how it's moving forward as well. There's been some contracts let for some dredging work on the Kaskaskia River. There's been there at the docks in that area right there between Baldwin, just west of Baldwin and east of Redbud through that area. So there's been some projects let for that, which is very nice in that area. There's quite a bit of economic activity that goes on there around those dock areas with FS Farm Service and TMW Material Works out of Red Buds. It's nice to see development taking place there also. So there's a lot of good things in the works as people are, you know, getting past COVID and beginning to talk about them, and I'm sure some of them are going to come forward and actually turn into real projects that'll go to permit and take place over late 22, 23, 24. So it's nice to see some of those happening, as of course we know the Baldwin power plant is winding down, and that was such an economic boost to our area for so many years and provided so many families with jobs. And of course, that's not going to continue a tremendous amount longer, both based on the age of the facility and, of course, this endless push of, you know, greener energy. And some of it's, you know, certainly legitimate and good. Some of it, I'm not so sure they're doing it quite right. But I lobby and talk about it on a continual basis with our lawmakers, and it seems like sometimes you're getting through and other times it seems like it's just falling on deaf ears. But you continue to reference, you know, your point of view and how it works and how it needs to operate. So there are very positive things out there happening as well.
Okay.
Also, as I mentioned, the courthouse closed today. We'll be open Tuesday and the rest of the week. We have a board meeting Friday, 9 a.m. in the Randolph County Boardroom. If anyone would like to attend, they're always welcome to. Oftentimes, there's not a large number of attendees, but if anyone would want to come by and be a part, you're always welcome to be there. If you need to be on the agenda, contact Melanie Johnson, you know, Randolph County Clerk, and they'll put you on the agenda for discussion.
All right. Well, looks like we're about out of time, but Commissioner Holder, thanks for being with us this morning.
That's quite all right. I always appreciate the opportunity and look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
All right. That'll wrap things up here on The People Speak today. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.